It's time for Vivid Talk, a coaching conversation to cultivate your visionary lifestyle. I'm your host, Gwen Witherspoon, Better Life Coach. We use my proprietary Vivid model for growth and development to get us started, but it's not a real conversation without you. So join in. Visit vividtalkradio.com for details. We've got a great show for you today. Glad you're here. Welcome to Vivid Talk. I'm Gwen Witherspoon. Today's episode of Vivid Talk Radio is brought to you by Flip Productivity. Before we get started, let me tell you how you can join the conversation. Post your comments on our blog, share in social media, or visit vividtalkradio.com to start a coach on call chat. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with my Vivid Talk Radio co-host, Catherine Jordan. We met at a Pinkpreneur Network collaborator event, and I learned that she is the owner of the Savvy ID. At the time, she was using her interior styling skills to stage properties for real estate agents. She will tell you more about how her services have evolved as she discusses her path from corporate to entrepreneurship and how she can help you get a vision for your surroundings. Welcome to Vivid Talk Radio, Catherine.
Hi, glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm so excited that, girl, can you believe back in March we were talking about doing all of this and now it's all actually coming to pass? And why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and tell us about your background and what you're doing today.
So my name is Catherine Jordan, and the name of my company is Savvy Interiors and Design, and I call it the Savvy ID for short. And my company is based out of South Atlanta. A little bit about me. I come from a corporate retail background, and I did that for probably a couple of decades before I decided to walk out on faith and do something that I was really passionate about, and that was home staging, decorating, things like that. And after I walked out on faith and started my business, the Savvy ID, I mean, it has been hard at times. It's been a struggle at times, but I don't regret any of that. I don't regret any of that. And to this day, I service, you know, real estate professionals, homeowners, and things of that nature through staging homes, designing homes, organizing homes and offices and things of that nature.
Now, have you always been interested in design?
Well, I guess personally, yes. For other people, I never thought it was something that I really wanted to do for other people, but I would always get people to ask me for my advice on their own individual spaces. And I used to think, like, you know, do what you want, you know, do what you feel, you know, because it's your environment, it's your space. But more and more often, I would get people to ask me for my advice. And more often than not, when I get people to visit my home, like certain professionals come out and install certain things, they will always compliment my decor. And, you know, finally the light bulb went off, was like, you need to be doing something with this. And then I think when they birthed HGTV, that was just like my halo moment.
Right.
It was like, this is what you need to be doing, Catherine, because you love any and everything about, you know, home decor, interiors, real estate, you know, fashion, trend, you know, and I used to watch it all day, every day. And
wow.
I really mapped out really my exit strategy from years and years of watching HGTV. Like, I really did. Like, I was scared in the beginning. I started a business in 2004, mm-hmm. and it didn't go so well. And I tried again
in 2007. So what didn't go well about it?
I wasn't really serious. Like, I was afraid, really, because I had built this career. I was excelling, you know, rather quickly. And I didn't, to me, that was secure. I didn't know if I could really make a living as to doing something that I was passionate about. So I didn't really take it serious in 2004. Mm-hmm. And then in 2007, you know, I was like, okay, something had to give. Because when you're in retail, you can get burned out rather quickly. You know, all your holidays, you know, you're working, you're not with family and friends.
Yeah.
You miss out on a lot.
Yeah.
And I just look back, like, you know, is this what I really want to do? Is this what I want to retire from? And I think because I excel often, I kind of pushed my passion under the rug and didn't really focus on it, you know. And mm-hmm. after I had my daughter, you know, she's six now, I didn't want to leave her. And I was like, you know, I should be working for myself, you know? And that's when I really started strategizing what I should, how I should, you know, create an exit plan in my career to do something that I was love before it was too late, if that made sense.
Yeah. So, so what did that exit plan look like though? How long was it like from the moment when you were like, okay, I got to go out and do this on my own to when you actually did it? How long was that?
Oh, it was years. Like it was years. Cause I still was so afraid. Like like I told you, I had her in 2011. Like I was working on things, like researching schools and certifications because I wanted to get educated because I didn't know anything about the industry, like business-wise. So I did all that 2007 up until 2011 really for me to research it, right? And then after I did that, I still kind of sat on it because I was so afraid. I was used to getting a steady check. I mean, fear really, it really held up a lot of things for me. And when I had my son, I have a younger son, he's three out of my three kids, you know, it was just like, I do not want to go back to this job. I just do not want to go back to this job. And I got recruited to another company, and I worked that company for a little over almost 2 years. And I had just had enough. That was, 2015. I think it was 2015, yes. And I prayed to God. I just told him that I have to do this before it's too late. I didn't want to have any regrets. And, you know, I hear people saying that they, you know, they wish they could have did certain things. They should have, could have, would have. And I didn't want to be that person. And I want to at least, you know, say that I tried, you know, I want to at least say that I tried to do something that I love. And I prayed to God, like, you know, it's going to be, I know that he was telling me, he was guiding me and telling me that it was okay. And I waited for that permission along with talking to my husband about it. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I still did it in faith, even though I had a little fear. I still was fearful. But would I change anything? Heck no. I wouldn't change anything.
So how would you say, what do you think was like the biggest factor in helping you not, maybe not get rid of the fear, but how do you go anyway?
I just had to stay prayed up. I had to stay prayed up. I had to, you know, keep my mind on positive things, and I had to create a circle of positive people because you have to have people that's going to speak greatness into you. In order for, you know, you can be in your own headspace, you know, and sometimes we get in our own way, in our own headspace. And, you know, I can be a loner at times, and then I can be, you know, I can surround myself with, you know, people that I need. And when I'm in need, I'm in need. Like, I need somebody to really speak life into me. And that was key for me to keep going. Even when things didn't look like they were going to work out, that was key. Even when things fluctuate, go up and down, that was always key, surrounding myself. And my mother is my biggest advocate. Like, she is my prayer warrior. She is my biggest advocate. Even when I'm having, you know, my down days, you know, she's like, okay, your pity party done? All right, let's get that phone. I mean, and I need that.
Yeah.
You know, she's like my biggest fan. She's my biggest cheerleader. And, you know, I have a couple of other people that I surround myself with that speak life into me, too, and it's needed. My circle is small, and I like to keep it that way. But you need that. It's essential for you to keep pressing forward.
So what have you learned about yourself through this process?
I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. Like, I'm very competitive when it, you know, like healthy competition. Like, I'm in my own lane, you know, and I think that's healthy to a certain degree. I don't like to look and see what any and everybody doing because that's distracting.
Right.
I call myself doing that in the beginning, and it didn't work. It's like, okay, you worried about what so-and-so is doing, but that's never been you. Focus on what you got to do. You know, their style is not your style, and everybody beginning is not the same. You know, you're looking at what they have, and you're trying to figure out why you're not there, but they didn't begin the same way you did. You don't know what things they were privy to or what they done had to work toward, how long they've been doing it to get to that point. So I had to keep my eyes focused on what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Well, and it's true because I think when we get to the place where we understand that our greatest competition is ourselves, right? Then then we don't have to worry about, you know, the Bible says comparing yourself among yourselves is not wise. And I, you know, and as you go through life, you start to realize why, because it does, you, like you said, you don't know where they started. You don't know what they're dealing with.
Yes.
And, you know, we're looking at everybody's Instagram life, and your Instagram life, you know, is just a moment.
Snapshot.
It's a snapshot, right? Mm-hmm. And so just because you even just because you promote a beautiful, healthy, fabulous life in social media doesn't mean that everything else is going, you know, is going wrong. But it also, you also can't compare your life and say, oh, well, so-and-so's doing this and living this way. And, oh, my gosh, when am I going to, you know, it's just you got to stay in your lane, figure out who you are. You know, and I love, yes, like, even just me watching kind of your evolution of services. You know, when I met you, you know, I met you through the Pinkpreneur Network. And when I met you, you were focused on home staging, but it's been beautiful, yes, to watch you like expand your services. So what was that process like? How did you get comfortable enough even to start expanding and showing some other things?
Okay, so real deal is, I mean, it's like sink or swim. I had to think in the mindset, okay, I'm an entrepreneur, and if this long revenue that I'm, this stream of revenue is not consistently coming in all the time, what else can I do? And I know that I'm one heck of a decorator. I know I could decorate the heck out of a space. I know that push come to shove, if I need to do organization, I can hone in on those skills. And I know that whatever I put my hand to, I'm going to be serious about it, and I'm going to give 110%. And so I had to think of the mindset, well, how many things can I do under the umbrella of decorating and then adding organization? So to me, it was like, I can do home staging, I can do redesign, I can do organizing, I can do there's so many things it could branch off of. But one thing I did not want to do, and I had to sometimes pull myself the reins in a little bit, I don't want to be a jack of all trades either. I think that, you know, when you become an entrepreneur and you're out here grinding, trying to, you know, make your business successful, you put your hands in too many things, and then you can't perfect nothing right, 100%, right? So I said, well, let me narrow down. What do I really need to focus on? Home staging, by far, hands down, number one. And I want to focus on working with business women. Yeah. And I can do that through helping them in their home or office. And that's as far as I need to go. And with that, I can help them with organizational strategy, storage solution strategies, whatever it may be, but I'm still helping my core clients, which is real estate professionals and business women.
Well, you know, you, Dr. Jada, and I, you know, have done events together, and we've done speed coaching for women that attended the conferences. And, you know, and on the forum, I told you, one of the things that I thought was really interesting was, no matter what situation that they wanted to talk about in their speed coaching, when they filled out that little pre-questionnaire, I think almost every single one of them rated their surroundings subpar. And, you know, our goal is to help people get vision for every area of life, your inside, your outside, and your surroundings. And so I was shocked. I was like, all these people that, you know, they're out here doing, you know, they're going after their dream and trying to pursue their vision. And most of them are saying, you know what, my home is not together. I don't really feel like my surroundings are organized. So do you find that with the people that you deal with, and how do you help them through it?
Well, you know, when I see people don't think they can afford it, to be honest with you. They look at design as, oh, it's a luxury, I can't really afford it. Yeah. You know, what people don't realize is that you can afford whatever it is where you are. And like, I see people out here, you know, they buy all of these name brand things that they really superficially don't need, but they buy them because they like how they look, right? But they don't really think about that when it comes to their environment. I had this one conversation with a person, and they told me that, well, you know, I don't really think, you know, it's not necessary. You know, I don't think it's necessary to really, you know, design your space. I mean, it's nice, but it's not necessary. You can just give me a desk and a chair, and I'll be good. But that's not the case. I mean, what people don't realize, what you see dictates how you feel, dictates your mind, you know, and it's not that expensive. Like I tell people, you want to design your space. Say, for instance, you had a small, like, penny budget. All you had to do is just incorporate accessories like pillows, different little knickknacks around the house, canvas prints, whatever it is. And it could be a small impact. And you can spend probably relatively up to $5 to $1,000 doing it yourself, right? Get some high quality pictures. And then if you want to, you know, take it a step further, then yes, you can hire a professional, but there are different phases to it. What people don't know, if you have an actual designer, you can get an e-design with a professional like myself can walk you through what you need to do for your space, where you can go buy these items from, how much they'll cost, you know, to fit into your budget, and proper placement as to a space plan on where to lay it out. There's so many different levels, you know, and then you can actually have somebody come in there and do it for you, or you could just shop for everything yourself and then organize everything yourself. Because there are some creative people, you know, with the business women that I deal with, they don't have time to go out and do it because they're out here, you know, speaking, traveling, doing whatever. They just need somebody to come and do it for them, shop for them, and they can do it themselves sometimes, or just they want you to do everything. But there's different levels to designing, and any and everybody can afford it. It all depends on what is your priority. If is your space a priority? That's what it's about.
Well, and I think too, you really can reflect so much of your, when you're in a space that reflects your personality, that feeds
you.
You're
thriving it.
Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
it feeds you. It gives you energy to keep doing this stuff. And I had another last week's episode. I had an interview and my guest was talking about just how important it was for him to keep his energy up. And, you know, because there's so many things, like we're going out into the unknown as entrepreneurs. There's no guarantee that anything we do is going to work. There's no guarantee that even what you did last week is going to work this week. So it's so easy for something to come that just really, it feels like a blow, you know, and it makes it harder to keep pressing when it does, when you can't see clearly that it's actually going to work. And so it seems to me, too, having an environment that is designed for you, part of that visionary process, like it's going to keep you going, you know, and give you a haven to kind of to retreat to. And I'm with you. I understand because, you know, for years my husband was like, well, we don't have a budget to do, you know, do anything. So I moved into his space when we got married and I've been in his space and not really done any decorating for myself. And I love him and I love being with him and love our home, but having a space of my own is still like super important.
We're going to take a commercial break and return for the second half of my conversation with lifestyle coach, interior stylist, and owner of the Savvy ID, Catherine Jordan. At Flip Productivity, we've made planning simple with the Flip 5 Principles of Planning. Look within. What is this dream that you have? Look up. Why is this worth doing? Look around. What's in your hand? Look ahead. What's the vivid view? Look back. How far have you come? FlipProductivity.com. Plan, produce, play. Welcome back to Vivid Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gwen Witherspoon, and I'm talking to Catherine Jordan of The Savvy ID. Before the commercial break, Catherine was talking about the importance of designing your personal spaces.
You know, what people also don't realize is that the small things, like certain scents and smells, elicit certain things. You know, that if you're looking for productivity and focus, like if you incorporate some cinnamon, like I love plug-ins, candles, diffusers, things like that. You know, cinnamon helps improve your focus. You know, if you need something to lift your mood, incorporate some peppermint. If you need to, you know, relax after a long, hard day, lavender is, like, by far the best thing, right? So I tell people, you know, you have to surround yourself with the very things that, you know, make you feel joy, you know, happy, peace, you know? And, you know, when I work with clients that I'm designing, you know, their offices for, and I like to tell them, when I'm working in my office, like, my office is, like, I feel good working in my space because it's a great representation of me. And every day that I open up that door, it rises up to greet me every single day I walk in. You understand what
that's
I'm saying?
That's so fabulous.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And I tell people they have to think about those things. You know, people think, well, I'm going to just get me an office. I'm going to throw my business name, my logo on there, and then this is going to be my space. I'm going to throw a couple pictures up. It's deeper than that. Like, you have to really, like, you have to design a space based on how you need it to work for you, right? You have to have certain, it has to be comfortable, it has to be welcoming, it has to incorporate colors, like blue. I pick navy blue for my brand color, one of my brand colors, because, one, it's a trustworthy color, but, two, it elicits productivity.
it helps you become productive.
Yeah.
So that's why people need a professional one to advise them, right? They need that somebody to advise them and show them how to do it right. How to do it right. When you're in a space that help you thrive and soar, it ain't nothing like that. Because you can grind all day long and don't even realize how time done passed by and you've been in the office all day.
Yes.
All day. Because you want to be there. And we spend majority of our time working than we do anywhere else.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's highly important. I highly recommend it. When I hear people tell me, like, oh, it don't really matter, it made my skin cringe because they don't see the value in it. They don't see the value, so then I have to educate them on the value as to why they need it. You know, and I like to talk about this too. You know, people suffer from clutter of all kinds.
Because
they don't have proper storage solutions, paperwork. They hoard so many things. Yeah. And what they don't realize is that clutter causes so many things, right? It causes so many things. It causes you to be stressed out, overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. It's still half of your storage space. It costs you money, and it costs you money in two ways. Because one, you're sitting there taking time to look for the very thing you can't that you can't find, and time is money.
Yes.
Two, you have to end up going buying that thing that you can't find again, so now you have two of them instead of just putting it back where it's supposed to go. You know,
come on now.
Dealing with clutter, it takes away your peace of mind and steals all the beauty from your space. And so that's why you can't surround yourself with the very thing that inspire you to do and be great. Because you have it junky. It's junky and so saturated with stuff you probably don't even need.
Come on, now, you just said a mouthful.
So it's important. It's important, honey. That clutter.
Yeah.
Very important.
Well, and so tell me this. So you came from the corporate realm, and you and I both, we did retail. I was a retail manager for two major retailers, and that lifestyle, it was fun. I loved it. It felt entrepreneurial, but losing all your holidays and standing on your feet all the time, that was painful.
Yeah.
It was like, that's enough to get you out. But what would you say was, what did you take from corporate that you brought? Like, what worked well that you brought with you to your business?
I've always been successful in my corporate career because I always make sure I provided great service. Great service, store presentation, and I always was result driven. Those were the core things of how I was always so successful. Mm-hmm. And then also certain systems and practices that I had to incorporate, you know, managing a district, you know, making sure that certain things were turned in on time, making sure that certain reports were worded and structured certain ways. So all those things, certain leadership styles and skills, I brought all of that to the Savvy ID. From every job I've ever had, every position I've ever had, and learning how to cultivate good, healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's key to anything. Because when you don't have money, if you have healthy, good relationships, that'll get you to where you need to be.
Come on, that'll preach right there. Yeah,
that'll get you where you need to be. So, and people have always been important to me. I have to tell this story. It sometimes makes me tear up, so I can't even want to say it. But I have this lady, and she changed my world. I think I had I was a store manager at the time, and I think I had lost my first baby. My husband and I had, and I was so stressed out. You know, I was stressed out. I hated I had to be back at work. You know, I just was miserable, right? And I remember the lady standing outside my door, and it was like 30 minutes before it was time to open, and she just was standing there just staring at me. And it just bothered me. And I was like, why is she standing out there? She knows we don't open up until 10. You know, so I pointed to the sign, and, you know, she was just asking me, could I open up? And I was like, no, we're going to open up at 10. But I was the manager. I could have let her in there, right?
And
when she came into the store, and she told me, she said, you know, baby, she's an older lady. She said, baby, you know, I'm so sorry to be out here early. I know you didn't open up at 10, but I just need to get something for my son's funeral. And when she said that to me, when she said that to me, it brought tears to my eyes. You understand what I say? It brought tears to my eyes. And I said, from that point on, you never know who you're entertaining. And you never know what nobody is going through. So you know what, Catherine? It's lights, camera, action. You better put on a face whether you feel like it or not. That was the most valuable lesson I had ever been taught, ever in my life of working.
Yeah.
To treat everybody good. no matter what. And you
respect
and you be kind to people before you know who they are or what situation they got going on.
Yeah.
And I think that lady, that was a life lesson for me to this day.
Yeah.
To this day. And I would never in my life ever forget her. Ever.
Wow. Yeah, that's something you will ever, that's something to remember for sure.
Yeah, I will
I can see where that would just kick you in your gut.
Point, it did. And I had to hug her. And I had to ask God for forgiveness because I was worried about my own situation.
Yep.
And I'm at work. I'm working for somebody else. I'm on somebody else's clock. It ain't about Catherine.
Yeah.
And when she told me that, and I had already lost a baby, but she done lost a grown person, it just did something to me.
Yeah.
I would be forever changed because of that.
What's the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur? What do you wish? What do you wish? What do you wish you knew?
A consistent check. You know,
well,
you can be good 1 minute, and the next is like, okay, it's crickets, you know. And you have to forever work on your business every day, every day. Yeah. It's a lifestyle every day, and. I really didn't realize that in the beginning because, you know, when you start out, if you don't really know anything about entrepreneurship, like you haven't took no real business classes, like it's learn as you go. And when it gets good, okay, it's good. But then when it starts slowing down, it slows down because you weren't continually marketing the business or you done slacked in some kind of way. And now it's like, okay, Catherine, you got to get a regimen. You got to get a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can be strategic about what it is that you do. You know, and it took me for the longest, like, I think the most stressing out of my first year was the inconsistency. And I was like, you know, why is this not working? And that was only because I come from a corporate world with a steady check. And what I like to tell people, you can't compare your corporate success to your entrepreneur success. They're two different things. They are two different things. You can't measure it the same. And that's what I was looking at. And I called myself, well, I'm failing. No, I'm not winning. No, it wasn't that you're not that you're failing and that you're not winning. It's that you got to be consistent. You have to have a plan. And I didn't have that in the beginning.
Well, now you hit on one of my favorite topics. So planning. So how have you created a vision or for your business rather than just working in it?
So I have certain regimens that I do every day. I have to make sure I have my time with God. Then once I do that, I have me a to-do list, a master to-do list. And I pick 3 to 5 things that I'm going to tackle out that master to-do list. Anytime before my week starts, I always prioritize what I want my week to look like. But, you know, entrepreneurship, every day is different, right? You can plan all day long, but things sometimes are different. But with that master strategy for Sunday, I try to prepare myself for that upcoming week. Right? And things will change. I may get calls for a consultation, and, of course, I'm going to take it. I work 24/7. A call come in, I'm taking it. So I try to prioritize based on around my family life, too, because that was another thing. As being an entrepreneur, now I have more time to spend with my kids. I missed out on my oldest son whole entire life. You know, everybody else was having to raise him. He's 19 now. So I now have a 6-year-old and 3-year-old. I have to be more strategic as to how I do my schedule. In order for me to be successful, I'm going to have to get up as if I'm going to work for real. Even though it's for myself, I got into a routine just as I did and as I was when I was in corporate.
I mean, you've shared so many jewels. Like, I just love the fact that you've taken that, the discipline and the structure and the order and what you were successful at in the corporate realm and able to translate it over. I love what you said. This is a lifestyle. This is who you are.
Yes.
This is what you do. This is not like just this one, you know, one and done. This is not a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a relationship that you are cultivating with yourself, with your customers. I just want to thank you so much. I just really appreciate you being here today.
I thank you too. Thank you so much, Gwen.
Thanks for listening to Vivid Talk Radio, a coaching conversation for visionaries. A special thanks to our sponsor, Flip Productivity, an action planning system to help you plan your work, produce what you've planned, and spend more time at play. Visit VividTalkRadio.com to follow us and make sure you never miss an episode. Join the conversation by speaking your mind, posting your comments, sharing in social media, and tagging at Vivid Brands. You've been listening to Vivid Talk Radio with Gwen Witherspoon. Join us each Wednesday at 5 p.m. and get vision for every area of life. visit VividTalkRadio.com for more. Until next time, make it vivid.